Welcome to the History of the Batman with London, brought to you by Meltdown Comics and Collectibles in Hollywood, California. This is where we relive the defining moments of one of the most iconic figures of art and literature, the Batman. History of the Batman is produced and engineered by me, Mason Booker. Adam Silverstein is out on assignment, so I'm filling in for him today, and it's my honor. London, how are you?
That was an awesome intro, Mason.
Thank you. I practiced many times.
But I'm doing great, not just good today.
Oh, not just good. Not great. Just good, oh, you know great. What I forgot? I forgot about Shadow Adam.
I am here today.
Hang on. Hold on. My bad. I totally forgot Shadow Adam from the shadows. Maybe he'll say something or maybe he won't. But apparently he will this time. Shadow Adam, how's it going?
Pretty good, Mason.
Excellent. Okay, London?
Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
Well, today we're actually going to talk about something everyone keeps asking me, at least for the last 2 months, and that is what I thought of Batman v. Superman Dawn of Justice.
So, Batman v. Superman, I have opinions.
I know you do. Yes. I know Shadow Adam does.
Strong opinions.
Yes, and I do too. And I want this episode not just to be about our opinions, but to talk about the many, many influences from comics that we saw in the movie. And one of the biggest things I think that hopefully you guys will get from this episode is that it was created to be a comic book reader's dream, I suppose. And in terms of how much of the comic book universe was put into this, not just Batman, but all over the DC universe. And so people who are really into comics, like I know a lot of you listeners are, I'm sure you picked up on all the Easter eggs and everything, and that's great. But then again, it's the drawback of not everyone reads comics. As I mean, I've seen from the Instagram page, a lot of people, they know Batman from the movies or the video games or other media besides comics. So if you go into the movie almost blind as to what comics were there, it could have been a little bit confusing, or you weren't as pumped as, say, someone who reads comics.
So. Yeah, I have to say that I went to go see it with a friend of mine who had no knowledge of comics, really. And I mean, that was kind of strange in this day and age. But yeah, no knowledge of comics and had not seen Man of Steel. And so it was interesting because she was there and we were talking, and she was basically like, I have no idea what's going on. Please explain this to me.
Right.
And I had to spend about 20 minutes in the movie. I got shushed 3 times, just kind of explaining to her, like, oh, okay, so this is what's going on. In the other movie, Metropolis was attacked, or he took out an alien in Metropolis, and all this devastation occurred, and da-da-da.
Right.
So anyway, but yeah, so if you hadn't read the comics, you pretty much had no idea what was going on.
I think not just reading the comics was going on, but a lot of people, general public, were put off by the premise of it. I talked to my father, who obviously doesn't read comic books, but is a DC movie fan, comic book movie fan, and he's, you know, seen, used to like the Christopher Reeve Superman,
sure,
and animated series Superman. And so his question was, why are they even doing this movie? I don't see how Superman can beat Batman. I think a lot of the general public didn't get that. Like, how can Batman beat Superman? He's just a man. So unless you are familiar with the comics, I mean, you understand how he can beat him and has beat him multiple times. But I think for the general public, it was like, I don't think this is a fair fight.
Well, this is your point many times over, right? You've mentioned this before on the show, that if Superman really wanted to, he could just blow Batman away.
Exactly.
Like, immediately.
He could sit in low orbit and use his laser eyes and just kill him. He wouldn't even have to fight him directly if he didn't want to.
Right.
Exactly. And that happens in most of the time when we've seen Batman and Superman fight in comics, and we discussed a thorough history of Batman and Superman's relationship in comics in a 3-part episode.
Go check it out.
Most of the time, if not all the time, Superman is holding back if they do have to fight, because Superman doesn't want to hurt Batman. He doesn't want to kill him. But even Batman knows that he could if he really wanted
to. He's the peak of human intelligence,
exactly. And of course the movie, once it was first announced a couple years ago, they put to the forefront that it would be heavily influenced by Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. And
yeah,
I think
you actually, I'm sorry to cut you off, said that several comics were influenced.
Right.
But the only one that I caught was, of course, Frank Miller, Dark Knight.
Right. Sorry. And you saw that either in the way Ben Affleck's Batman's is sued and just the design of the chest emblem and all that. And then even in, I mean, I guess we can start there just talking about the influences. You saw it in dialogue when he talks to Alfred and says, well, we're all criminals. That's a line straight from the book. And there's a lot of influence like that from the movie. But just going along, I mean, if we just start from the beginning. Well, okay, before we get into that, I mean, I liked the movie. Just in a general sense, I enjoyed it. I did have a few problems with it, which I'll talk about.
I am astounded. You never have
problems
with
anything. I know, I don't. But for me, even the problems weren't so, they weren't big problems to me. I think that the movie handled what I had trouble with as well as it could. So in general, I feel positive about the movie. I mean, what are your thoughts?
My view.
Yes.
I am very middle of the road. There was parts that I liked, and I was like, "Good job." And then there were other parts that I was like, "What is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And how did this happen?"
Right.
And I'm sure we're going to talk about
yes.
it. What about you, Shadow Adam?
I did not enjoy the movie.
Oh, this is great. We have a perfect
exactly.
round table.
That's what I was hoping for.
I appreciated the comic book influences.
Sure.
And as a comic book fan, I liked that. But I try to go into movies just looking at it from the general public perspective. And looking at it that way, I don't think it was a, it didn't flow well.
Yeah, it was definitely clunky at parts for
right.
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well. So at least everyone, and I think this is good that we all are on these points, because for all the listeners, you can agree with one of us.
Someone speaking your tone.
Right. Someone, okay. I think, would agree with either one of us. So that's good. So, okay, we can just start with the beginning of the movie, which is Batman's origin story, correct? I mean, the movie starts with a young Bruce walking with his parents, Thomas and Martha Wayne, and they're coming from watching The Mark of Zorro, and they are approached by a mugger, and Thomas and Martha are shot.
Yeah, and this is one of the things where you were, the influence of The Dark Knight is extremely seen, because one of the things about Zack Snyder as the director,
mm-hmm.
he loves, this started with 300, he loves taking the frame
yes.
and making it, you know, the shot, making the frame from the comic the actual shot. And I saw that in the famous pearls around the gun,
yes.
right? Martha Wayne's pearls around the gun that shoots her. That's straight out of The Dark Knight.
Yes, and I just have to say, visually, I thought that was stunning.
Yeah, it was cool.
I know that Zack Snyder is known for making visually beautiful films.
Oh, yeah.
It's
300 was
I know amazing. The biggest complaint that some people have is that the visuals sometimes aren't as beautiful as maybe the storyline is put in the films.
There,
and that's the criticism I've heard the most.
I would agree
from
with
his
that.
Movies.
Like, I feel the failing points of this film were not the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
It was the story and the writing.
Right.
And I know, because being in Hollywood, you can't help but, you know, hear about all these rumors on the film industry. But as I understand it, it was a studio directive to make the film dark.
Right.
They were like, you know, I guess he originally wanted to do something more lighthearted and kind of like the Batman movies of old or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they were like, no, we got to go dark with this one. And so,
which is interesting considering that's like the biggest criticism that this movie has gotten, that it was so dark and it wasn't quote fun or funny. And I've heard that a lot.
Interesting.
So that's interesting that you actually said that, because I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
But that's like one of the main things that, because of course, which we'll get into a little bit later, but the criticisms were more, it was just too dark.
Too dark.
Which for me personally, I didn't think it was going to be a light movie anyway.
No, I didn't. The trailer doesn't say light, but I will say that it went dark, and I don't know if it's too soon to jump the gun, but Batman flat out murdering people was
right.
definitely like I thought that was too much. Right. Even in Dark Knight Returns, mm-hmm. the comic, he didn't brutally flat out murder basically peons, pointless henchmen.
I was going to say, I think the tone would have been perfect for a solo Batman movie. But when you add in mm-hmm. Wonder Woman and Superman, those are characters that they don't have to be funny or lighthearted, but they do have to inspire hope, and they do have to inspire some type of brightness. And I felt like this Superman did fail to do that.
I could see that. Right. Yeah, because they were trying to like humanize. They were focusing more on his human aspect of being Clark.
And
stuff.
We saw that in Man of Steel a few years ago. And even though the symbol represents hope and all of that, it was still a relatively...
You're talking about the S on his chest and on his home planet.
Right. Yeah, but the film was still relatively a little bit darker than previous, like Christopher Reeve Superman. I mean, totally contrast there.
The Richard Donner film, the original Christopher Reeve Superman, is one of my all-time favorites. I mean, it was just handled so well, and it's got Gene Hackman and Christopher Reeve's who played Lois Lane? Anybody?
Margot Kidder.
Thank you. Yes, Margot Kidder, of course.
Of course. It was right on the tip of your tongue.
Yeah, it was. So thank you, Shadow Adam, coming from the shadows to save me. Anyway, all right, I'm sorry. Please continue.
No, well, yeah, Man of Steel, I mean, just from that, and people said they didn't really like that Superman because it wasn't they even complained about the tone, the color tone of his suit, that it was darker.
Right, the movie wasn't just dark in tone, it was dark in color palette as well.
Right. The palette, so.
Oh, why didn't you ask Clay Enos about that when he was
I know.
Famous set photographer Clay Enos.
I know, that's interesting. I should have asked him about
it's
that.
It's too late. We'll get him back.
But I think just looking at that and then going into Batman v Superman, it's all now within the same DCEU. I wasn't really expecting, I guess, what people thought they were going to see, or they were very disappointed at the overall tone of the entire movie.
Right.
So, I don't know. But I know that was a major criticism. But yes, Snyder, visually, I mean, even the beginning and seeing the funeral, and of course, the origin story is from many times over, but the original was Detective Comics 33 from 1939. And then Bruce runs into like forest, but on the property and falls into the hole, which would ultimately be the cave or the underground cavern, which is, you see that in a lot of different books, but The Man Who Falls, and they even did that even in other Batman movies, like the awesome Joel Schumacher film Batman Forever. They use that too, but that's all from the same Batman comics.
Right.
And then he discovers the Batcave pretty much, but then we go right into the fight that was from Man of Steel. We go into Superman and General Zod fighting in the city, and then we see it from Bruce Wayne, Ben Affleck's point of view.
Yeah. I actually liked that part because one of the biggest criticisms of the Man of Steel film was Superman's supposed to save all these people, and yet there's this massive fight that essentially kills thousands of people, and he's not, like, no one talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I saw the trailer for Batman vs. Superman, I thought it was very interesting that is the point that they took and kind of built the story around.
Right.
And so I don't know if they just listened to the fans and were like, hey, these guys are making a point, or if it was planned out that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, good job. Like, good film fan interaction and building the story around what people want. We gave the people what they want.
Right. And this scene, or this...
Incidentally, my friend who I was with, no clue. No idea what was going on, because it wasn't explained at all.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you had to have seen the other movie.
Exactly. And that's one of the bad things. But I know with any movie that had like the prequel, or it's the second movie, or within a set of films or a franchise, you're going to have to call back to other movies. And I guess that's... But this one, people almost forgot or didn't know, like, oh, Man of Steel happened before.
Right. Well, I don't think it wasn't clear in my head that they were in the same universe. I mean, obviously they were, and big whoops on my part. But I guess before I was like, oh, Man of Steel is like, you know, it's just a Superman movie.
Right.
And like, they're going to go forward from there. But I didn't make the connection that Batman vs. Superman was actually in the same universe until I saw the trailer. And then I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And I think it's because, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, London, but I mean, this is meant to be the vehicle that is uniting all the film franchises into essentially the Justice League movie.
Yes.
That's going to come, I'm sure.
Right. This movie, with all of the different criticisms, I think did a great job just setting up the future film, setting up Justice League. And I think it did a good job of that. We'll get into how it does it. But I thought this particular scene when Bruce is seeing the destruction and Superman and Zod fighting, I think that sets up why he's so angry.
Yeah.
that's a start,
I think, I get it.
For people like, who want to know, well, why is Batman mad at Superman? Just in general.
Right. But it was kind of weird that, I mean, I thought Batman was in Gotham, and then he's getting this call, like, you know, stuff's going on. He's like, I'll be right there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I thought Gotham was miles away.
Exactly.
But apparently
but
not.
Yeah, in this universe, it's across the bay.
Oh.
We even see that later when he's putting up the bat signal.
Oh, I missed
that. And when Lex is looking across, it's right there. It's really not that far. In here. But in other comics, it depends. Sometimes they're right across from each other. Other times they are miles and miles and miles away. And you have to literally travel to one. So it depends on whatever universe we're in. But in this one, yes, they're relatively close.
Sure.
And they have a Wayne Enterprises set up there, and that was the trigger that many people, or many of his workers, many people that he knew, died from Superman and Zod's fight.
Right.
And that's what pissed them off.
Yeah, that's how it starts.
Exactly.
This is a famous line from Jeremy Irons playing Alfred in this one.
And I liked his Alfred.
I love Jeremy Irons.
I thought
everything Jeremy Irons does, he's I mean, even the Dungeons and Dragons movie where he was like completely out of control, I still liked it because it was Jeremy Irons.
Right.
But I thought he did play the kind of cool-headed, mellow Alfred foil to Bruce's like hot-headed, full of rage guy. Really good. Although I will say and you may have a view on this, I thought that Alfred was disappointed in Bruce at this point. That he was like, I'm going to go along with you because, you know, I got your back and I'm your family forever. But, like, I'm not down with what you're doing.
Right.
He definitely didn't encourage it.
Right.
No, especially when he was going to fight Superman. He was like, you're going to die. What are you doing?
Right.
I mean, he was being more realistic about it than I think Bruce was probably blinded by vengeance and rage and all that. Which,
oh, I disagree. I don't think Bruce expected to get out of it alive. He was like, if I can just take him down,
just take him down
a notch, like, I'll die, but it'll show that he can, you know, I'll be the, it's like 300, you know, they'll take the hit, but it'll be enough of a delay that everyone else can rally against him and do whatever.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I thought Jeremy Irons' Alfred was great. I thought it was a great modern interpretation of Alfred. It's not the usual when people think of Alfred. They're like, oh, he's just his butler. But of course, he's like his mechanic and his medic and a father figure and all of these roles that Alfred has to play to almost keep Bruce sane, the little sanity he may still have. I think Alfred kind of keeps him in check in that way, and he's needed. So I think for the little that we did see of him, I know for the Batman solo movie, we'll see him much more, which they announced that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and Ben Affleck is producing it, and they even said he's going to probably direct it as well and star in it. So it's a whole Ben Affleck production that was announced not too long ago.
I think I saw on your famous Instagram account that was happening.
Yeah, so that should be interesting. And so since we're talking about, I guess, Batman, we should talk about Ben Affleck's portrayal. I loved Ben Affleck's Batman. I didn't think it was going to be bad. I know a lot of people had opinions and thought, oh, he's not going to do it, because some people are still stuck on the whole Daredevil thing that happened over, well, now, like, what, 10 years ago? More than 10 years ago? But I think
even Adam the original host Adam is like, yeah, that movie not very good. You know, he's the world's number one Daredevil fan.
Huge Daredevil fan. That's like me saying, oh, that Batman film wasn't good, when it's like, would you love everything Batman? But yes, Daredevil wasn't the best, but this is a whole different everything universe. It's, I mean, he's matured as an actor and director and all of these things, and I think he really took, I mean, he said that he read Dark Knight Returns and other comics and really took to heart to form this new Batman. And I think his Bruce Wayne was great, because of course both are important, right?
Right.
you need to have a good Bruce Wayne and a good Batman. And I guess we can touch on what you said earlier, that this Batman, when we first meet him and the two cops find him and he's in the corner, literally like on the wall. And I thought that was amazing, because when Batman was created, he's supposed to be this terrifying figure. This,
right.
He's supposed to scare people. So the fact that he's like a bat in the corner in the dark and then pounces, I thought that was awesome.
That was cool. And I actually, I had a question for you. Was that a frame from some comic? Because it looked very...
Batman always comes out in the shadows like that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, either right in the corner or somewhere the top beam or something. Yeah, that's definitely influenced by other Batman. Because he always just is like that. He's scary.
Yeah.
But that's what he should be.
Well, he's a ninja.
Be.
Yeah.
You know, I did have a lot of complaints about the movie, but Ben Affleck wasn't one of them. Mm-hmm. I think he definitely lived up and surpassed the expectations.
I agree. I enjoyed it. My only real complaint, and it's extremely minor, is he was a little one note. He was just kind of like, I'm angry the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, that's it. That's all you get. You're angry. I get it. You're angry.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that you can definitely tell,
but
he was at that tension all the time,
right?
Like the whole thing,
right? But like,
there was
happiness. I will say he was suave when he needed to be suave,
right.
He was a little James Bondy when he was Bruce Wayne, and it was cool, he brought it.
Yeah. And even when he was at, which we'll talk about Lex I'm sure in a second, when he was at at Lex Luthor's party, and he had to like pretend like, oh yeah, I guess I had a little too much to drink, and he kind of, which Bruce Wayne does in the comics, I mean, he's supposed to be that billionaire playboy.
You know,
he drinks all the time, and that he's just a party animal. But so he kind of brought that a little bit, not too much, but a little bit to the character, which was great. And yeah, so we're into that. We see Superman again, which of course his whole thing in the movie was, we're trying to see if this alien is good or bad for us. On the one hand, he is a godlike figure who can save the day all the time. But on the other hand, he's a godlike figure who made all this destruction and innocents were killed. And so,
yeah, I think it's the crux for me, and what really kind of, I guess, made it worth a movie worth discussing is, if Superman actually existed and had a bad day, for whatever reason, a la Killing Joke, he could destroy the planet,
right?
Like, with no, I mean, who's going to stop him?
Like, little effort. And
yeah,
no one could really
stop
little effort. And no one could really stop him.
Right. And so
no
it brings up an interesting question. Like, in the face of, I mean, it kind of touches on the Cold War nuclear armament.
Right.
Like, you know, oh, if we could destroy the world at a push of a button, like, what's stopping some crazy person from pulling it off? And
right.
So, you know, similarly, Superman is effectively a planet-destroying device walking around, like,
exactly.
what's gonna save us?
Exactly.
Nothing.
And,
by the way,
right? Like, we're screwed, right? That's not
right.
That's not happening, right? So the story keeps going, and I think this is one of the things I was worried about going to see the film, is how they're fitting, introducing all of these characters, all of these little minor plots into the movie, and it flows.
Mm-hmm.
So you're introduced to Batman and Bruce Wayne and what he's going through and what he's doing, and then you're introduced to Superman and the politics of it and the government trying to figure out, and then you're introduced to Senator Finch, who thinks he's just destructive and he shouldn't be there, and then we get into...
That's Holly Hunter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we get into Lex Luthor, who's played by Jesse Eisenberg, and...
Yeah.
And I know you have thought on...
This is one of the things... I like a lot of it. I don't like a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the things I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Eisenberg, I get it. Great actor. I've seen him in a ton of other stuff. He's a little one-note in this.
Right.
He kind of plays this like rich, I don't know, neurotic
chaos maker.
Yeah, who kind of keeps going, and by the end of the movie, he's just flat out crazy.
Right.
What I liked about Gene Hackman's portrayal of Lex Luthor in the Richard Donner movie back in the 70s was he was a man who was full of ambition. He didn't care how he got there, but he was smart. He was put together. He was a worthy adversary, I felt.
Mm-hmm.
This Jesse Eisenberg, again, great actor and other stuff. I just felt like this portrayal of Lex Luthor I didn't like. Whiny, kind of, which you don't understand. And I was like, oh my God, I can't handle it. And like,
right.
He's got this long flowing hair. And I was like, all right, when's he going to go bald? And of course, that was at the end, which I did not like. And
you didn't like the way that they did that, how he became bald, or just...
I didn't like the end shot where he's like, he's coming. Ding, 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 ding. I was just like, I wasn't a fan.
Right. That ding, 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 even though we'll get to it, it's like specific to something from like the comics.
Oh,
right.
That completely went over my head.
Yeah.
And, I was like,
and that's one of the things.
It was just annoying.
Yeah. But that's one of the things where it's like, if you don't read comics,
right.
like hardcore, you're not going to pick up those things. And so for people who, like everyone or most people, they're like, why is he doing that?
I think one of the biggest scenes that people misunderstood, talking to my brother who saw it, was the Crisis on Infinite Earth scene.
Yes.
Flash coming through the monitor.
Right.
Flash?
Yeah,
I couldn't tell who it was.
Yeah, so even all of that, even just the whole nightmare Batman scene, that was with tons of different things. Like when we go to it, and you know, that's the one that's, it kind of looks like, it's like Apocalypse,
I think most people...
Well, it's supposed to be, right? It's like, it's his... So I had to go back and read, I watched some YouTube videos... After I saw the movie, I was like, what was that all about?
Yeah, I mean...
And I watched some YouTube videos where they explained it.
Right.
And like, apparently, like, that's Apocalypse's, like, vision that he's, like, coming. He's coming.
Yeah, it's like when you get there, you see the city on fire, and then you see this huge symbol on the ground. That's the Omega symbol, which is Darkseid symbol.
Which I did not know.
Right. It's like you said. Like I said.
And those are Darkseid's parademons.
Yes, the parademons, those winged creatures that are flying and grabbed them. Exactly.
I mean, it was cool visually.
No, yeah, definitely.
But I was just like, I don't know what any of
that. And then like the men that have the Superman like symbol on, you know, then they're like the army that's like from like Injustice, and there's a lot of different things. But yeah, that's more like Darkseid, Apocalypse. And
so wait, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So it's not symbolizing that Apocalypse is coming. Apocalypse is Marvel, right?
Right, but like Apocalypse is where Darkseid is from.
That's the name of his.
That's the name of his.
Okay, I got
yes.
you. Okay, all right. See, I read enough comics to know who we're talking about.
Right,
I got down on like all the
right. But that's the thing. Like, if you know that stuff, you're like, oh, I can point out this and this and that, and that's awesome. And then, but then if like your friend.
Yeah.
Who doesn't read comics or didn't even see Man
no
of Steel,
clue.
She's like, ooh, this looks scary. You know, there's fire going on.
Right.
There's destruction. That's awesome. Ooh, look at these guys flying around grabbing.
Some dream sequence?
Exactly. It's like, maybe. And then after that, and we see that Batman is chained and Superman comes and he's like, you took the one thing I loved and was all mad. And then he ultimately kills Batman or like... puts his hand through his chest.
His hand in his chest.
Right.
Yeah.
And their story.
Was that a reference to Lois Lane, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
And then who are the Superman paramilitary group? Like the.
I think in. Well, all we know is in that vision that was just part of Superman's.
Because they were
army.
Awesome.
Yeah, no.
Like,
drop they
into
were.
The knee in front
right.
of Superman and with like his little symbol.
I was
like, that's pretty cool.
Right. In that vision, we see that Superman has just taken over everything. He's just taken over the world.
Because, by the way, as The Simpsons teaches us, like, I for one would like to welcome our new overlord.
Exactly.
Like, if some all powerful dude is like, join me or die, it's like, hey, I love you, man.
Right. And there are a few storylines where. We see, and it's because Lois has died or something like that,
right.
where Superman
okay,
becomes
so, this
so
wasn't
mad.
From a comic.
No, not okay. not specifically,
I
but
gotcha.
We've seen that Superman has become so enraged that Lois has died or something that he just goes rogue, goes back, and then just takes over everything.
Justice storyline actually started as a video game and then was adapted to comics.
Okay, because I know that one. I played Injustice.
Yeah,
so.
And you saw that Superman, because Lois was dead. I mean,
yeah,
he kills.
He was too late on a nuke or something.
Yeah, and
Lois dies, and he kills the Joker.
And he kills Joker, right. It's that same concept of Lois dying, and he just turns into the bad guy that everyone fears, especially Batman. He fears that, oh, well, he has all this power. He can take us out if he wants to, and if he's mad enough, he can, and you see that there. And then once Superman puts his hand through Batman's chest, he wakes up and you see Ben back in, or you see Bruce back in the Batcave. And then, yeah, like Adam said, you see and it's the Flash, and he is...
I did not catch that.
I don't think a lot of people caught it.
Right. When
the only
you first see it...
It doesn't look like a Flash costume. The only reason I knew it was the Flash is because it was Ezra Miller, and I know Ezra Miller plays the Flash.
Right. And so you're like, okay, so if that's Ezra Miller, that's the Flash.
I didn't know that. I just thought it was some sort of interdimensional being, because the Flash is red and gold, and he comes through a blue and black... portal, and he's all blue and black, and
I
don't know.
Exactly. And he comes and he's trying to give a warning, and he learns that he's pretty much too soon to give the warning, and he's like, she's been the key, she's the key all along. So of course we all just figure, okay, that's Lois.
Yeah, Lois.
Because from what the dream sequence that Bruce had to that, you can see that somehow in whatever the next movies that follow or anything, that Lois is the key. So, and even that Flash coming to Batman and telling him what's going to happen in the future, that's from Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Okay.
I mean, from that storyline from 85 to 86, him trying to warn him of the anti-monitor and all of that.
At that point, was he like, Lois Lane is the key?
I mean, pretty much.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
No.
Amy Adams is the key.
Right.
Let me be clear,
though. No, but, and since
I love you, Amy Adams.
No, and that's where that's interesting to bring up, because I thought Lois's role in the movie was very extensive. I thought she was involved
very interesting.
A lot.
I want to talk about this a little bit, because on my podcast, London, which you haven't been on yet.
I need to.
I actually talked with Kimmy, who works at Meltdown.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was pretty livid that Lois Lane's portrayal in this movie was weak sauce. That
really?
She didn't do anything. Like, she just kind of was the damsel in distress.
You
the
know,
whole time.
She did fall off of a lot of things
she
and was about to die with guns, and she fell off. She was thrown off buildings.
Yeah.
But it's
she
like.
She does some reporting, but otherwise, she's just kind of like, well, I don't really have to worry because Superman can just come save me at any time.
But isn't that how Lois a lot of times
that was my,
is, though?
That was my argument. But she was just like, you could handle it better. You could give her something to do. Like,
Lois is supposed to be tough.
Yeah, she's tough.
Right,
she's spunky. She's a go-getter. She's at the top of her reporting
field.
Right,
and in this story, she was trying to track down the bullet, and she went to
that
D.C.
That was
another
side storyline went anywhere.
No, but that's what. But they were trying to keep her relevant.
They were, but I think they did a better job of it in Man of Steel.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Again, if you haven't seen that.
Exactly. You're like, so yeah, if you haven't seen that, you're like, why is Lois so involved here?
Mm-hmm.
It seems kind of, like I said, it seemed like a little too much, especially when we get to the third act of the film and she's there a lot involved in almost the fight and everything.
Well, I think it goes to what you were saying before, that apparently if she's the key, so they're like building her up.
They're building her up.
Right.
And we don't know what that means or anything
at
this point.
But, you know.
But yes, she is important somehow. Mm-hmm. But
although I gotta say, I also enjoyed Kate. What's her name? Kate Boss. Kate. Who played
which character?
Who played Lois Lane in Man of Steel? No, that was Amy Adams. Who played Lois Lane in?
Her name is Kate too. We are bad at
Kate
last
Boss.
Names.
We're terrible.
We're terrible at last names. But I do know who you're talking about.
I'm gonna. You, 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 Yes! By the way, I want to take this one moment to talk about one of our sponsors. London, you know about Loot Crate.
Yes, their geeky subscription box is awesome. I have their Quest box, which is one of the most recent ones, and I got an awesome t-shirt and socks, and they have all this amazing, like, licensed great stuff and collectibles, and they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Well, each month they come out with a new box. And you can get it for only less than $20 a month, really. You can sign up to be a subscriber. And for less than $20 a month, you get a box, and it's got like 6 to 8 items that does include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and all this stuff. And hey, we've got a little present for the fans that if you go to www.lootcrate.com/HOTB, that's History of the Batman, and you enter the promo code HOTB3, the number 3, you get $3 off on any new subscription. So I just wanted to...
Which is a rad deal.
It's pretty rad. Yeah. So I just wanted to throw that out to the fans before we get right back into it. It's Kate. She was in... Blue Crush and all that stuff?
Yes. I know exactly who
I know
you're
you
talking
know.
About.
I know who... Oh, I don't have...
I know. I'm drawing a blank. I do not know her last name. But, yes, I've always liked the Lois Lane character. I think... And that's one of the things that bummed me out, actually, about Man of Steel, was that she knows...
Kate Bosworth.
You were close. You were like, Boz.
I was close. I liked her, Lois Lane, in... it wasn't Man of Steel. It was... Superman Returns,
right? The one with Brandon Routh. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't like the way that Lois already has known that Clark Kent and Superman are one and the same, because that's what I've always loved about the Superman, Clark Kent, Lois Lane, Daily Planet relationship.
I mean, all right, I get it. Like, but that's coming from the 50s golden age,
I
right?
Because,
like, I do think that if you're going to go dark and realistic... I mean,
she has to know.
It's pretty clear that Superman and Lois Lane were gonna get together,
right?
And at that point,
by the time we're at Batman Superman, they're living together.
Yeah,
like,
so how's she gonna keep?
He's gonna
it?
Cook dinner.
Yeah, she knows.
It's like, okay, I suppose, but
this is the one thing I thought. I don't know if this was intentional, but the fact that he puts her in such preference, I thought was an interesting kind of iffy subject, because, you know, the film opens, she's in the desert, she's
right.
dealing with some sort of, I don't know what, terrorist investigation
right.
or whatever.
And Jimmy Olsen is with her, and people were upset at the fact that Jimmy Olsen was killed, like,
yeah.
and he was only on screen for like 2 minutes, and
I felt Zack Snyder's...
And he was a CIA operative.
I felt Zack Snyder's excuse for killing him was kind of flat,
right.
too.
Didn't he just say he didn't fit?
He basically said that Jimmy Olsen's archetype did not fit within his universe,
yes.
so that he had to kill him.
Right.
I think it would have been better not to have Jimmy at all,
sure.
or you could have adapted him.
I agree. I would agree with you on that. Like, that's a character that you could do stuff with. I liked that he was...
Major character within the Superman. Because,
yeah, he's like Superman's conscious at a lot of times.
Right,
like,
exactly. You know. And they're... I don't think they... Yes.
I'm sorry. I just want to finish my point real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was an interesting point that no matter where Superman is, he'll drop everything he's doing to go save Lois.
Yes.
Like, so when he shows up and takes out the terrorists or whatever... who knows what was going on elsewhere at that point.
Right.
Like, you know, people could have been flooded in their house.
Right,
or
it's
something.
Crazy. Like, Superman, he'll be doing stuff, and then he'll hear Lois, like, screaming or something. He's like, but you hear all these other people screaming.
Right.
It's like, no, I'm going to zone in on this one.
Yeah.
Go save Lois, and we'll see what's happening
right.
afterwards.
I mean, she's the one that Amy Adams matters. That's it.
She was kind of dealing with that guilt in the bathtub scene.
Oh, the bathtub scene.
Yes.
Yeah, she was.
When she said, I don't know if we can be together and you can be you.
Right.
Oh, that's fair.
And that was already...
Also didn't catch that. Good job.
And yeah, and even then he was like, well, I love you and you are the one thing that matters. And that comes back at the end of the movie. So even from the start, Lois is shown to be very important
right.
in this universe. And even if we don't exactly understand how, whether it's from Superman's affection and lover or from what's happening in the future with other heroes, she is important.
Well,
so
I think one can turn into the other.
Right. Definitely.
All right. Before we continue, I want to take a quick break so we can try and make some money real quick. Hang on, guys. All right, we're back. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
So we just were talking about Lois Lane. So we actually should talk about the other characters that were introduced and even had small cameos, which is starts to set up the other films. And we can start with Gal Gadot, which I believe that's how we pronounce
this
her.
This is one of my favorite parts.
Yes.
I thought she was great. She was great,
yes,
as Wonder Woman.
She
I loved her accent. I loved the fact that she kind of looked a little different from you. Her ethnicity was kind of in question. She has a very, very statuesque, like, you know, Hellenic goddess type.
Right, which is what she should have.
Yeah, which, by the way, I don't know if you know, but, like, that is Zack Snyder's, like, bread and butter right there. He's like beautiful women in Greek armor running around kicking butt. Like
that's what he knows how to do.
That's 300. That's Sucker Punch. That's like that's his jam. He's like, I love hot women kicking butt in crazy outfits. Like that's my jam. So and I gotta say, he brought it on that. So
and her as Diana Prince, and I love the fact that she's an antiquities dealer. That's her profession.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Right. Yeah, when she's looking at the sword and the guy's trying to sell it to her. Yeah, that's what she does. That's her profession.
A little Highlander action.
There can only be one.
Right. You saw the original Highlander, right? That was Connor McLeod's, right. That was his cover story. He's like, I'm an antiques dealer. I deal in antiques because I'm immortal. What's up? But yeah.
So I thought that was fitting considering she is a goddess and she's been living for hundreds and thousands of years.
Well, yeah,
so that's cool. That fits definitely into.
It was cool with me. I liked how they worked elements of her costume into her everyday
right,
stuff.
Like her necklaces and her brooches and all that. Yes.
I was like,
definitely.
That's cool. And she just, you know, she looked like somebody who. She's beautiful. She kicks butt. She's intelligent. I was just like, you're a wonderful woman, Wonder Woman. Like, let's do
it. And what I thought was cool is that the moment that Bruce saw her at Lex's party, he just couldn't keep his eyes off her. And that's what
it
always is.
Oh, but wasn't that because
he
suspected her?
Well, the first time he saw her, like the very first time when it was just a glance, it wasn't that she went after she took the chip or any of that. It was just, he just saw it like, wow. And then it was just in general like, oh, wow, she's
well, that
kind
of falls
stunning.
Into your whole thing of like, there's this like weird sub fan Reddit type thing that's like Batman and Wonder Woman.
They
like,
want to ship them so
hardcore. Yeah. But then there's also people that want to ship her to Superman.
Right, and in the comics, Wonder Woman and Superman have been together.
Yeah, which
and
totally
makes sense. And it makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
Oh, sure, because Superman's immortal, essentially. Wonder Woman's immortal. So anytime Lois Lane's, like, officially out of the picture, like, dead or whatever, Wonder Woman, like, steps into that. Because, plus, and I think I touched on this briefly when we talked about Batman's love interest, like, he can hug her and not kill her.
Exactly.
And, like, hold hands with her and not destroy her hand.
Yeah. So, yeah, the power matches, definitely.
Yeah.
But yes, I love it. And so she actually is the one that when she starts talking to Bruce, like through this email, and he finds the picture that she was looking for that shows that she's with Steve Trevor and all these people, and she's in armor. And so he discovers that she.
I didn't get. No, maybe you can explain that. I didn't understand that. I mean, clearly it was like World War One question mark.
Around that area, because it was like 1980.
Because she was like, I fought monsters before, and I was like, is she talking about Hitler? Like, I couldn't tell.
I mean, she's been around for hundreds of years.
Sure.
So, I mean, part of the picture, I mean, it did focus on like that World War One, World War Two, that era. Mm-hmm. So definitely, I mean, it could have been that. But then she's also fought on different worlds. And
but that wasn't that picture.
No, it wasn't that picture.
Okay.
That was more here, like
right.
America.
Oh, she's fought on different worlds?
Yeah. I mean,
movie or is you talking
it's
about the comic?
I mean, well, in the comics and both. I mean, but she like briefly like mentions that when they were fighting, when they're fighting Doomsday, she's like, I fought worse creatures before. So that just assumes that, okay, well, if she's fought something like Doomsday, she's fought other things, other places.
I got it. I took that to mean that she like fought a dinosaur.
Which she could have.
I mean, she could have, like, where's Themyscira? I don't know. Right? That's her island.
Right. So yeah. So
I will say if we're there, I liked how they introduced Doomsday. It's way better than the comics.
Yeah.
The fight itself, you know, we can talk about it, but I like the reasoning behind Doomsday is way better than the comics. In the comics, he's just this weird genetic experiment on this other planet
right.
until eventually he like shows up on Earth by accident. It's weird.
Right.
I did not like the way he looked. He looked like the troll from Lord of the Rings.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought. Right. Clearly influenced by Lord of the Rings.
I mean, a lot of people aren't happy with heavy CGI like that sometimes.
Sure.
They feel like, oh, it looks cheesy almost.
Well,
the way. But it's like, how are you going to do Doomsday?
You're
going to
break it out. You're going to get the man in the suit. Going to do the man
Godzilla,
in the suit.
Like.
Yeah. I'd pay to see that again. I want some dude in a suit like waiting
just going
out.
Like swinging from side to side.
Right. No, I see what they're saying.
Yeah.
But I just thought the reasoning behind it all, that it was the Kryptonian abomination or something.
Right.
That it was a better justification for the creation. And I forget, why did Lex Luthor create him?
I mean, I think...
For fun?
Well, I think a large part of it was...
Motivations were very...
Right, that was...
Right.
Right, that's the only thing. I mean, Lex clearly has this thing against Superman, against the idea of gods or God in general having all of this power, because he believes that if you have all this power, you can't be all good. There's no way... I mean, that's the kind of reason...
That's interesting.
That's the kind of reason he has. Like, if you have all this power, there's no way you can be all good.
But is that his reasoning because he has all this power and he's no good?
I mean, that could totally be. He could be definitely, like, mirroring
Well, I mean,
him,
he's narcissistic,
but,
like,
well, of course.
Wazoo.
Right,
so he's like,
exactly.
Everything's about me.
Right, exactly.
Which, by the way, his seduction and then betrayal and murder of Mercy, I was disappointed
I
with.
Know, which I love her character.
Oh, she's great.
So I wanted
her to stick around.
Right, and even before we even get into the fight, just that whole sequence of the U.S. Capitol blowing
right,
up
right.
and all of that, and then the politicians, everyone talking about Superman, like when Neil deGrasse Tyson comes and talks about him. I mean, all
that
of
that was cool.
yeah, it was a good
like,
cameo.
Like, all of those things are from Superman Peace on Earth, which is a Paul Dini book.
Oh.
All of that, it reflects that comic.
I did not
definitely.
Know that. Okay,
yeah, I
okay.
totally picked up that because I love Paul Dini. And Alex Ross's
art is
amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
oh,
like...
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so that just idea of trying... I mean, just Superman and trying to figure out if he's good or bad for mankind, that isn't something relatively new. I mean, that's been picked up in different Superman comics, of course, because that's the one character you can talk about that with. I mean, and it is wondering, well, if like we've said, if he wants to, he could take out everybody. But yeah, the Capitol building and that Lex was behind it all and everything.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And so clearly he wants to bring down Superman. And he has such this obsession with Kryptonian culture. And then when he finds the Kryptonite, which in the comics, at least he was... in some stories, Lex is the first to actually introduce Kryptonite to Superman in some storylines.
Mm-hmm.
So that and the fact that he has it and he was a younger Lex too, that's fitting. And so once he has like the Kryptonite and then he learns more about Zod and that, you know, when he's exposed to the Kryptonite, you know, the deterioration of cells and all of that, then he goes into the ship chamber and puts Zod, you know, his blood with Zod's body and it becomes this mixture and then boom, Doomsday.
Yeah.
It just all, I don't know, it seemed kind of squished together. I don't think it was as coherent
right.
as I think they wanted it to be.
Yeah,
I got it for the most part.
Right.
But once we kind of started seeing that, and then Lex just becomes obsessed with making this being, and then we see Batman like training, like, well, I'm going to beat up Superman now because
right.
now I know about the white Portuguese boat and all of that, and they're shipping the Kryptonite, and I'm going to use that Kryptonite. And that's when Alfred's like, okay, bro, what
yeah.
are you doing? Like,
yeah,
why are we doing
he's
this?
He's
right. So, yeah, Lex's motives are, it just seems pure, like, Superman is bad, and I want to show the world that Superman is bad. And that's how we get to Batman preparing to fight Superman for his own motives, for
mm-hmm.
you're dangerous to the world and you need to be stopped. And then Lex somehow simultaneously has the idea of, oh, well, I see Batman's symbol up there, so that must mean that he's going to beat up Superman. I never got that connection.
I didn't get
that
connection
never
either.
Explained.
Yeah, I was never
so
like,
that bothered
hey.
Me.
Yeah, no, it bothered me too, because I was like, I understand that you want to manipulate and toy with Superman, so he's like, I've got your mom, and you, but then he's like, so you better go kill Batman, and I'm like,
right.
What? Or did he figure out that Batman had the kryptonite, so he's like, I'll send it.
I think, no, he did figure out because Batman went to LexCorp and trashed the place stole the kryptonite, so he,
the batarang.
What is that?
It's a bangarang.
I don't know. What is a bangarang?
It sounds like a beer shot.
No idea. Sounds like a new drink,
right? Exactly.
The bangarang. No, yeah, he left the batarang, and so that's when Lex knew that he had the kryptonite.
Okay,
so probably that was the connection that was supposed to be, oh, well, if he has kryptonite, he knows what it can do to Superman.
Sure.
So I'm sure he put all of
this. This
is
one of the things that
together.
Really pissed me off, and Adam, maybe you're with me on this one. He's like sitting there taunting Superman. He's like, I got your mom, and you don't know where, and da 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 da. And I was like, you just murder him. Just,
right.
Like, just grab him and be like, we're going to check every single apartment, and everyone I don't find, I'm going to rip out a fingernail. Like,
one of the off-scene explanations that Zack Snyder gave for Superman knowing where Lois was in Africa is that his hearing is so great and sensitive that he can hear her heartbeat from that distance.
Why not?
My reasoning for that is, if he could hear his girlfriend in Africa, why couldn't he find his mom a couple blocks away?
Absolutely.
Right.
he's almost, if not as fast as the Flash, right? So he could check every single apartment in all of Metropolis.
Within a couple minutes.
Not even. A couple seconds, by the way. Like, right, you know, by the time that Lex Luthor is like, he's like, I'm going to push the button. By the time his hand starts to go towards the button, Superman can come back, rip his arm off, and be like, here's my mom in your face. So, you know, that was all
about. Right. I think with the plot.
Plot device.
Right. They were trying to make Batman and Superman's fight as justifiable as possible.
Yeah, it just
and so
wasn't.
They were trying to force this whole, oh, you can't kill me because I know where your mom is, and so you have to fight Batman and give me his head, and then I'll tell you where your mom is.
Yeah.
And all of the points you said that, well, Superman can go choo-choo.
Yeah.
And then it's over. And oh, look, I have Martha.
Yeah, and you're in jail.
Exactly. It should be like that. But we have to make it dramatic. And this point in the movie, I think, was a huge shift because the first half.
It took me out of it.
We were in this kind of dark, kind of almost like political stance with dealing with Superman and then seeing what Bruce Wayne is doing and everything. And now we're into the full on sci-fi monsters. And then. And then we get into the fight, which I'm not just saying this because I'm a Batman fanatic, but I did like the fight, the beginning of the fight and kind of how it went back and forth. And a lot of that was from Dark Knight Returns, the starting with kind of like the sonic weapons that was from the book. And then Batman kind of threw like the almost like grenade like bomb that like had the kryptonite dust in it.
The kryptonite gas.
And in the book, it was Green Arrow who shoots the arrow in that bus. But same thing. That's how it gets into his system. And then Batman just begins pummeling him. And so when people are asked, oh, well, how can Batman take down Superman? And people have asked me that before the movie. I'm like, kryptonite. Mm-hmm. That's going to be in there somehow. We don't know exactly how yet, but it will.
Yeah, well, he made like a little kryptonite bullet, didn't he?
Right, exactly. And so then when they're fighting, and then Superman kind of gets his energy backwards, not completely in his system anymore, then he gives Batman a few blows, and then Batman shoots another kryptonite gas thing, and then he starts like twirling him around and hitting him on pillars and all this stuff and just crushing him. And then of course we get to the moment where he has this kryptonite spear that he's made, and he is planning on just stabbing Superman with it.
Yeah.
And then this is where when I first saw this part, when I went to the fan screening that Monday before
out. You guys got in before anybody.
I got to see it, and then before Batman stabs Superman with the spear, he's like, no, you must save Martha. And that stops Batman right in his tracks. Yeah. And he's like, why did you say that name?
How did you get that name? He has like a post-traumatic flashback.
Right. And it's like, and then that's where I feel Lois was like, what? Because she comes out of nowhere. Lois comes out of nowhere and is like, wait, that's his mom's name. Right, and then we have the flashback of the pearls and the gun Thomas saying Martha in the flashback from the beginning.
Well, that was for the audience. That was like,
of course.
What's going on?
Like, and they're like, well, what do you mean? And so we have to like go back. So that's fine. And
but that actually helps explain why Lex Luthor like concocted this insane scheme with Superman's mom or whatever. Because it was a writer device to get Martha in there. Okay,
right,
okay,
exactly.
Okay.
And of course, when Batman hears about Martha and he has to save Martha, I feel like he knows that he couldn't save his Martha because he always feels guilty for not being able to save his parents, even though he was like an 8-year-old kid. But you know, besides the point.
Martha won't die tonight.
You know, that's the guilt that he always
just everybody else. Before we move off of this, I want to talk about this. One of the things that really, really took me out of the movie is Batman just wantonly mowing down without any remorse people. I know you have said in earlier episodes that Batman started with a gun, like back in the
30s. Oh, yeah. Or it's like
but
guns
like,
and
I've
killing.
Been raised on, you know, Batman's whole tenet of like, no guns.
Right.
Like, we're good. We don't do that. And then, you know, this just like destroyed that. Now, I get that they're like, we're showing the new stage, the new set, you know, whatever. And that's the whole thing, again, with Jeremy Irons, like, first it burns and then the rage. And I get it. Like, you're setting it up that Batman has sunk to this level.
Right.
Of, like,
with
whatever.
All that has happened with after the Superman and Zod fight, I think he's at this darker place where him killing is justified almost with all of the innocents that were killed. And
I get that, but I'm just telling you, like, when I saw it, I was just like, this isn't Batman.
And for
like,
most
this
people,
is crazy.
Right, for most people, especially if you, like I say, if you have no idea about the comics, which a lot of people don't, you don't see Batman, especially going off of the Nolanverse, when the no guns, no killing thing was like the theme.
Yeah.
Of course, for you, that's just, hey, that's
not
right.
Well, it just felt weird. Like, I was watching it, and I was like, okay, this is their take on it. But I was like, it doesn't work for me.
Right. But of course, that's influenced by Golden Age, definitely the first year.
Oh, absolutely.
He was guns, killing people, snapping people's necks with this boot of his.
Yeah, even his hand. Hand-to-hand fight scenes when he's trying to save Martha.
Oh yeah,
are
which
brutal.
Was great.
I mean,
by the way,
slamming people's heads into concrete.
Yeah,
and stabbing people.
Right after they, you know, he says, "I'm gonna save Martha, like your mom." I feel like he wants to save a Martha.
Right.
So I think that's part
your
of
name's
his.
Name's Martha.
Thing.
You're in luck.
You're in luck because your name's Martha. So and I'm gonna save your life.
And then he has no qualms killing the Russian KGB beast.
Right.
To save Martha.
Right.
Oh,
but
yeah. That's who that was, right?
Yeah.
Some dude.
But definitely, those scenes, like, and I love the Batplane because he flies a Batplane to the warehouse where Martha is. He busts through the window, and that fight scene is great.
That fight scene
I
awesome.
Felt like that fight scene was definitely influenced by the Arkham games because it just felt like just the way that he was fighting.
Right,
because
Arkham.
Like the video.
The Arkham games, when they first came out, that was one of the things that was lauded. Their fight combo chain technique.
Right, yeah. And I feel like that was heavily influenced.
Oh,
just the style.
It certainly influenced a bunch of other games at the time. Like, you'll notice that style of fight chaining, although never done as well, shows up in a bunch of other games.
Yeah, definitely.
Because of that. So, yeah, I agree with you. Totally.
Right. So, yeah. So, once Batman goes and saves Martha, and I like how she's like, oh, I know you're one of the good guys because of the cape, which I think is hilarious. But humor that this movie does have.
It's good.
There it was, exactly.
Right. I'm with you.
Right, and then that's when we get into Superman going to see Lex, and he's like, oh, Batman's not dead, so there's Doomsday. And so we're introduced to Doomsday, which Doomsday was created in the comics to kill Batman. It's kind of like Bane.
Superman.
I mean, Superman. But just like Bane was created to break Batman's back in the comics.
You mean by the DC Comics people, not
yes,
like, not
no.
like in the comic world.
Okay. Like by the DC Comics people, like by the creators.
Right.
I mean, Doomsday was meant to be that person for Superman to give like the ultimate fight where he could kill him because there wasn't anyone before that could do that.
Right.
So I mean, seeing him, like I said, if you don't know the comics, you don't know. But seeing Doomsday, you kind of figure, okay, so what does that mean for Superman? Just kind of in a general sense, they have to fight. And so, and of course, it's a lot from the Death of Superman series from 1982. Dan Jurgens, who was a huge part of the movie, which I learned that Dan Jurgens, he had a lot of creative part in writing the movie. And I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that
would make sense if I knew that earlier. I'm like, oh, so if he's doing that, it's so a lot of Superman things
going on.
Maybe
you can tell
here.
Me if I'm wrong. That Death of Superman, the original comic that was created in 1992, was basically a gimmick because comics weren't selling well at all in the 90s.
Right.
So they thought, oh, we'll kill Superman and we'll sell a bunch of comics and get people reinterested in comics.
Right, definitely. For Batman, it was the reverse because in 89, the Tim Burton movie came out. So Batman's sales prices went way up and everyone was interested. But yeah, Superman was on the opposite side. And so usually when they do major story plots and twists like this, it is to get sales up. That's not really a surprise or anything.
Yeah, just a real quick shout out. If you haven't seen, it's on YouTube, Max Landis's video about the death and return of Superman and how it like totally shaped comics. Highly recommend it.
Hilarious. Oh, yeah.
Explains everything. I showed it to my friend after the movie. Explained everything.
Okay.
But
I understand now. Yeah.
Full of
Max Landis is awesome.
Celebrity cameo appearances. It's great. It's on YouTube. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, Mechlin is awesome. Even the recent Superman book that just ended that he was doing. That's great.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah. It's a short series, but like, it was like 7 issues.
Oh, cool.
So it's pretty good. So Doomsday and Superman and Doomsday are fighting. Of course, they go into space and then they have to decide if they're going to nuke them and all that. And them going into space, that was part of Death of Superman 2.
Right.
But Doomsday plummets back to Metropolis. And then Batman's like, well, I'm going to come in the plane and like come and distract him.
Right.
And that's the one thing.
And Wonder Woman got in on it.
Right.
And I have
once,
to say, that was where I saw
when,
like, Zack Snyder's, I mean, that's his jam right there.
Exactly.
He's like Wonder Woman flying around and kicking butt.
Right.
And,
yes. And so when Doomsday's about to blast Batman, she blocks it, and every time I've gone
everyone
to see
claps
it, everyone claps.
Yeah.
But people clap when Wonder Woman came on the screen for you when you saw it? Or was anyone like, woo?
Yeah, woo.
Yeah. Every time, and everyone that I've talked to, like, oh, yeah, the best part was when Wonder Woman got on the scene. And when I first saw the fan screen, it was, like, cheering for, like, almost a whole minute.
Oh,
just, woo, clapping.
I really liked after that scene, Superman looking emaciated when he was in space because of the nuke.
Right.
Because that was right out of the Dark Knight.
That's right, Dark Knight turns as well, right.
That's the one where he, like, lands and, like, absorbs.
Right, and then he absorbs.
Out of a sunflower.
Yeah,
and it's like,
out of like these daisies, and you're like, oh, okay.
You're
good
comic.
To go now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so of course.
Kind of crazy.
Right. So then once, and they're all together, and then of course they have that scene where they're all there, and it's like, woohoo, Trinity. Yes, that's what we've been waiting for.
Right. Well, you had that comic panel on your Instagram, right? It was like Superman and Batman, and in between them is Wonder Woman, and one was like, I thought she was with you.
Yeah, I mean that was fan art that someone did.
I thought it was taken from that,
but
because they did that in the film.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that's from a comic.
But in Superman Batman number 10, they do all fight together, and on the cover they are kind of in that pose.
Oh, cool!
So
it's an awesome Jim Lee cover.
Yes,
right?
Jim Lee cover. Yeah. So
cool.
Yeah. So I think in that 3-part podcast show that we had, there were some Trinity books, and that's definitely, I think, just the dynamic between them were influenced by those books too.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so Wonder Woman comes in and she full on like jumps with her sword and her shield and like attacks Doomsday, and then Superman's trying to attack him, and then Batman is kind of on the side a little bit, kind of waiting to
he's kind of hiding in the shadows
with his like
mortal,
kryptonite gun getting ready. And then of course you have him when he does go against Doomsday, he kind of jumps from the building and then to the wall, and you have that scene where he shoots his grappling gun and there's the lightning, and of course that scene by itself is like the cover to Dark Knight Returns number 1,
right,
where he's in the air and lightning and just that silhouette figure. But of course Doomsday is fighting both Superman and Wonder Woman, and then Batman realizes, oh, the sphere that's in that broken down place that we fought. I mean, he's like, we can use that to pierce him because kryptonite is the only thing that can damage him, that can kill him. And that's what Batman discovers. So that's when he's...
Because it's Kryptonian right, cells.
Right, exactly. And so this is when Lois Lane is back again. And she's like, oh, I'll go get it. And then,
but I mean, that's cool.
And that's fine. And then when Superman has to save her because she's trying to get it, then the building crumbles and then she's underwater. And then, of course, while he's about to fight Doomsday again, he hears her screaming under the rocks, under the water, right. And he stops what he's doing, fighting this monster that can kill everybody.
She's the key.
She's the key. I'm going to go save Lois and see what's happening over there. And so then he goes, and then he goes to get the spear, even though that weakens him because it's kryptonite.
That's
he
right.
throws it on the ground, and then that's where we see that he realizes, I have to be the one to kill Doomsday, even if that means it's going to kill me, which pretty much happens in Death of Superman. They have that final fight and they both, well, in the comics, kill each other. Right. But even then, he tells Lois that I love you, and he's doing this for her and all that, and it's always about her. So we're going back to even the beginning and even to the Flash coming out of the boom tube or whatever and saying she's the key. So there is a big Lois Lane theme here.
Sure.
You know, and that's fine. So then Superman goes with the sphere, and they have the final clash, and then Superman dies. Now, when I saw that, I'm like, okay, they killed Superman. I actually liked that, not because I don't like Superman or anything, but I thought that was pretty... I mean, that's pretty...
It was
pretty,
justified.
It was justified. I thought that was kind of ballsy. I know that. I don't usually say ballsy, but I thought it was the fact that they just wrote that into the story, and they kind of rolled with it. I thought it would be like, he'd lay there for a minute to go and cough or something. Right. Something. He'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm a little hurt. There's a hole right here, but it'll get better. But no, he died. And
Well...
Exactly, and
die.
That's why.
Quote.
Right, and that's why.
Just wanted to get out of the public eye for a little bit.
I didn't feel the death in the movie was earned as much as the death in the comics, because in the comics you had a Superman who had been established for years,
sure.
Was part of the Justice League, was trusted by Batman, was trusted by the public. This Superman is still a new Superman. It was only set, 18 months to 2 years after Man of Steel, where he's still kind of finding himself and the public is unsure of who he is. He hasn't had a chance to live up to the Superman hope and that kind of hyperbole of being a god. And so I didn't feel like he had earned that death yet.
That's an interesting point. That why kill off someone that essentially you don't really care
right.
about
especially
yet.
Since and since we are at, I guess at this point, Superman's death and funeral, and Bruce and Diana are there, and that's when Bruce says, we have to get everyone else that's like you together. And
didn't
we didn't
like
really
that.
Talk about and then we didn't really get to talk about this, but it's the cameos of the Justice League.
Right.
And of course they have this exchange through email where Bruce is like, he sends her the picture and it's like, that's you in the picture. And he's like, what is it? Who are you? Where are you from? And then he has decoded the LexCorp files, and he has this whole file on the metahumans, and then that shows the logos in the email of all of the most of the Justice League.
Right.
And we see Aquaman, and we get to see the Flash, and it's all for like
Cyborg.
Brief and Cyborg.
I felt like Cyborg's cameo was the most important because it showed the boom box.
Right, it showed the mother box.
Mother
right.
box.
Oh, and that
I had
is
no idea what that was.
Right, that box that and
I was like,
cut,
is this,
it was
is
starting
this
to
a Tesseract. What?
Well, and yeah, it's a mother box, but it's technology from like Apocalypse, from Darkseid. So it all will connect somehow. But so we get those little snippets, and that's our introduction. Because when I first learned that these characters were going to be in the movie, I'm like, how?
Mm-hmm.
Where will they have room to
well, they
be
really
in this?
Didn't.
They didn't. But I thought that
it was like 5 seconds.
Right.
Each.
But I thought that was probably, with so much happening, the best way.
Sure.
Within the movie, that they could say, hey, these characters exist and these characters will be important and we have to all join forces. And of course, now Batman is like Superman's best friend. He saved his mom, and now he's like, I failed him in death. I failed him in life, I won't fail him in death. And now they're BFFs, which is what we talked about in the other episodes. Like, yeah, they fight and things like that, but they're best friends. They're like close friends. And even though this movie was kind of odd, how it became, I'm about to stab you with this spear to your mom's name, Martha, too. High five.
We're best friends.
Right. Exactly.
Yup.
And even though I thought that was odd, when I first saw it, the fact that they bonded over the fact that both their names are Martha, you don't see that anywhere in comics.
Yeah, I thought I was like,
you
oh,
do
that's
not
a
have
good
a
point.
Solid
like,
story.
Nobody
where
pointed it, that out before.
No, and even though that's been... Like, their moms were introduced in 1939, 1938, and then Martha, I mean, 1948, we know that Batman's mom's name's Martha, and then in 1959, we know Superman's mom's name's Martha. And so these names have been canon pretty much the entire
sure.
time. And yet, there hasn't been a story where they really bond or note, like, hey, you know what we
right.
have in common? They don't. And so the fact that Snyder used that, I don't know if that should have been the thing to stop everything. I get the sentimental value and him wanting to save Martha, and that gave him the
right.
the feeling to, okay, I'm going to go save your mom when you can't.
Right.
I understand that. I just thought that was an interesting plot.
I did think it was interesting. I was like, oh, good point. Hadn't thought of that before. Good point.
Right.
Writer.
So I thought that so I thought that was interesting to use, because you really don't see that, even though everyone knows it. Everyone knows Ma and Pa Kent. Everyone knows Martha and Jonathan. And
right.
all that, but you don't really note it, I suppose. And so Superman, and so they're at the funeral, and Bruce says, we're going to have to fight, and Wonder Woman's like, why? He's like, I just have a feeling.
I was so pissed at that.
I just have a feeling.
It was just such a cop out. I was like, really? Do you have a feeling it's going to be called Justice
League? And I don't
League?
Know if it's because he saw Flash, or the person doesn't know that's Flash, come and say she's the key, and he saw that thing, even though
whatever.
It was a dream, and we don't know if that could be real or not.
I just thought it was
not.
So campy
but just
and
like,
weird.
Just
it was
a
like,
feeling.
Yeah, it was just bullshit.
You
like,
know, maybe.
I don't know, maybe. I did appreciate that the casket was black, though, because in The Death of Superman, when he returns mm-hmm. from being quote-unquote dead, his uniform
is black with a silver shield.
Oh,
so it looks just like the Return
cool.
of Superman. So right, so that definitely major influence. But like we said, if you don't read the comics, you're like, oh, okay, it's black because it's a funeral. It's
gotcha,
death. It's,
gotcha.
That's what it represents. And then, of course, at... Batman visits Lex in jail because he's arrested for all of the crimes, of course, creating Doomsday, just everything. And then his head is shaven, and that's where we see the bald Lex
right.
that we are used to.
Now, explain to me the DDD thing, because you said it's from a comic, but I have no idea.
That sound was supposed to mimic the sound that the motherboards make on Darkseid's planet. It's like a ping, ping, ping. And that's and that's the one thing that we saw a few weeks, or maybe a month ago now. There was a deleted scene, and Lex, right, exactly. But it's not in the movie. So if you saw the movie, you didn't see the deleted scene, you won't understand. But we see the character Steppenwolf is in the ship where he made Doomsday and all of them. And he is he's related to Darkseid, and he's like
his military leader.
Yeah, and so that's not in the movie. It was taken out. It's like maybe 20 seconds, but if that was kept in the movie, and if you knew, okay, if Steppenwolf's involved, that means Darkseid's involved, and then plus the Omega sign and the apocalypse and all that, and then when he says, like, ding, 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 you might have made, if you know the comics and things like that, you might have made that connection that Lex is somehow tied to Darkseid in some way, or he knows he's coming, or he knows he's going to be
like
a threat.
Like talking or something.
Or something, exactly.
Now, the director's cut on Blu-ray, DVD, digital
yes.
is going to be about 45 minutes longer.
Right, it's going to be about 45 minutes long, even though they said originally the movie was almost 4 hours long, and
wow.
they had to cut it
because it's 2.5
it's
right now.
2.5 so it was
I made the mistake of going to like a 10:30 screening, so I was leaving at like 1 in the morning.
Yeah, the first screening I went to that started at 10 o'clock
mm-hmm.
so yeah
okay.
so it's like yeah so but yeah so the original cut was 4 hours, but of course he made it to like 2.5, but then the Blu-ray, which is coming out I think in July
mm-hmm.
that is going to be rated R. and it's uncut. So we're going to see more footage, and so I don't really, maybe it's more violence, or I'm not sure exactly what makes it rated R now, because it was pretty,
pretty close.
It was pretty
Unfortunately,
close.
Mason, I don't think we're going to get a nude scene from Amy Adams.
You don't know that bathtub scene. Let me be clear.
Oh,
we were getting
that's
in that
the
bathtub.
Extra footage that we're going to see.
45 minutes.
So after we see Batman visit Lex in jail and he punches the, which I also want to note about the branding. That's not really a thing that Batman does. The only thing we've seen close to Batman putting his signia on criminals or anything is almost from like the serials, from like the 1943 serials with Lewis Wilson.
He did it in Dark Knight Returns, no?
He didn't brand them. He kind of wrote his, he didn't brand them though.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like a branding, but there have been different stories where he'll leave his symbol or leave a batarang or leave something that shows, but the kind of cruel branding, that's relatively new, which I thought that was interesting.
They were showing that's his new level.
Right. I mean, he's branding people, he's killing them. He's pretty hardcore.
It's a new Batman.
One of the theories I read, and this is just a fan theory, was that he was a Batman very much like Christopher Nolan's Batman, who had a set of rules, who didn't use guns, who didn't murder, and when whatever Robin died, that we saw the Robin costume of the dead Robin.
Oh, that is something we won't talk about, but yes.
That that obviously Joker killed him from the writing on the costume.
Right.
That basically he lost his morals and lost his hope after that. And that's when he started doing his branding and killing people, because he thought, if the bad guys aren't going to abide by the rules and they're going to kill my apprentice, my ward, then I'm not going to abide by the rules anymore either. And that kind of shows in him willing to kill Superman instead of getting to know him, which is what Batman as a detective usually does first.
Mm-hmm.
And that in Superman's death, it redeemed Batman back into his old ways of having hope, and that's why he didn't brand Lex.
I didn't catch that.
He didn't brand Lex Luthor. That's a theory.
I think that's legit.
I think that could pan out. I don't think that's, because there are some theories out there that are just kind of out there. But no, I think that's pretty solid. And since you brought up the Robin suit, which I didn't get to, unfortunately, but when we see Bruce looking at the Robin suit in the cave, we just learned like a few days ago that is indeed Jason Todd Robin. And that's what everyone kind of figured.
Well, who else is it going to be?
Because it has the Joker, and in the comics,
right,
Joker kills Jason Todd when he's Robin and Death in the Family. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's a famous storyline and all of that. But so it makes sense that, and so we don't know if there's a flashback. Will we see a Jason Todd? Will we expand upon this? Will there be a flashback where Joker Jared Leto is like killing Jason Todd? Like, people are wondering, what are we going to get from that? If anything, might not be nothing, you know, might not be anything. Right. And that's one thing I didn't talk about. I really did like the Batcave. It's very modern, especially since it's under this decrepit old Wayne Manor that he doesn't live in anymore, which is kind of like a Dark Knight Returns thing, since the Wayne Manor blew up and then he has to be underground, and that's kind of where he's living, and he has his, you know, operations and everything. So I thought the Batcave was really cool. Really liked the Batmobile. That Batmobile was pretty tough, except when it bounced off like a basketball on Superman when it was there. But everything else, crashed through walls, ran people over, crashed trucks.
That was clearly influenced by the Nolanverse, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. That. So I saw a lot of that. And then the final thing is when Lois is leaving Superman's grave, and then right at the end you see the dirt particles rise up,
right,
and then it cuts to black.
Which is a reference to Man of Steel, right?
Yeah, and the fact that, okay, he's not dead. And
so surprise!
And so, first I was kind of like, oh, they didn't keep him dead. I mean, they might keep him dead in the next movie, but clearly, and of course, he's going to come back. And it wasn't really a surprise, because even if you're just going off the technical stuff, he is filming Justice League right now, and you know this, so it's not like you're too shocked that he's not dead, if we're going off of that. But so yeah, I think we've gone through it all. And of course, we mentioned a lot of different comics and a lot of Easter eggs and references. I mean, from the costumes, from it's heavily influenced by Dark Knight Returns and even the Nightmare Batman. It's influenced by Gotham by Gaslight and other Elseworld comics. And that whole dream was kind of like an Elseworld in itself.
But I like the look of it.
Oh, definitely. And even Superman and Lex's portrayal, like visually, is from the comics. I think the persona, since he's Lex Luthor's son, because we're always used he's Alexander Luthor Jr. He is not Lex Luthor.
Lionel Luthor is not his dad.
And Lionel Luthor in this universe is not his dad.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't clear that up earlier. Okay.
Should talk about that real quick.
Okay.
That was missed by a lot of people, especially
average
moviegoer.
No, because exactly.
Lex Luthor's erratic behavior was one of the biggest complaints I heard.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But
it was annoying.
Right, but he's not the first Lex Luthor. And that's why in the movie, when he always talks about his dad, I mean, he's kind of trying to walk in his footsteps, but trying to be his own person. And so his whole persona is so different. I think it's supposed to be radically different.
So what happened to the original Lex Luthor? His dad.
Well, he died.
He passed away. We don't know how.
We just know that he passed away. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think he mentions
maybe Superman killed him or something. Because that would make more sense.
We don't know.
Battle with Zod.
Yeah, but I don't. Well, if that is the case, we don't know that.
Right.
Yet.
Right.
And that might come out of somewhere.
It would make a lot more sense.
It would make a lot more sense. Yeah. He doesn't like the whole God complex thing, but that would make more sense if it's more personal.
Right.
Do we know if Jesse Eisenberg's contract is past Dawn of Justice, because he recently mentioned that I enjoyed that role and I wouldn't mind signing on for more, so I don't know if he was only signed on for just that movie.
I don't know, actually. I thought I heard somewhere that he is going to do another movie, but I am not entirely
Because right
certain.
Now there's no confirmation for a solo Superman movie, right?
Right. No confirmation.
I don't think anybody wants one right now.
But no, there's no confirmation. There was like a few rumors that said there's going to be also a Batman and a Superman. They both are going to have their solo movies, and Superman might have another solo movie, but it's not confirmed. There is nothing there that says that. But I enjoyed the movie.
In summary, recommend it?
Yes, I do. I think if you haven't seen it, you should see it. I think if you are a Batman fan, which I hope most, if not all, of the listeners are, if you're a Batman fan, go see it. I know that the critics handed most of them, they did not like it. Of course, the low rating on Rotten Tomatoes and all of the laundry list of things that people said were bad about it, the tone or how it was very congested, which was one of my complaints, that it felt like they had to squish so much into it. But again, I say, even though, yes, it was very congested, I thought it was going to be worse than it was, because I did not know how they were going to put all of these little plot points and introduce all of these new characters and let it make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So even though, yes, I totally agree it was congested, it was really packed in there, and then having to throw in the cameos of Justice League and kind of how they went about that, I had a little bit of complaints, but I thought that you got to know this new Batman well. I think that it was split as even as it could be in terms of dealing with Superman's problems and then dealing with learning about Batman and his issues. I think that it was a great setup for the future films like Justice League and the Wonder Woman film that's coming out. And if you are going to see Suicide Squad in August, this film, that happens after Batman vs. Superman. So there might be a few references. And even in the last trailer for Suicide Squad, they even mentioned Superman right in the beginning about his power and what he can and can't do. So I think some reference, and of course Batman will make a few cameos in that film as well.
So just to touch on the bad reviews.
Yes.
You would not recommend it.
I would go see it once and then never again.
Okay.
It's worth seeing to get your own opinion of it.
Right.
I wouldn't tell people not to go see it, but if you haven't seen it yet, I wouldn't say go see it in theaters. You can wait for it and see it at home. It's not necessary to have the movie experience to see it.
Okay.
A lot of things we've been seeing on the blog, and even you got approached in person about this. Are you tired of fans accusing the critics and accusing necessarily Disney of a a conspiracy to keep DC down. And that's why it didn't cross the $1 billion mark, because there's a conspiracy.
Because Disney and Marvel don't want DC right. to get on their level, so they conspired and had all these bad reviews and critics.
Wow.
And no, that is
people
not
are
even...
Hardcore.
People are hardcore. People really believe that. I've gotten that so much over the last 2 months.
And they're not from kids. I mean, a grown man approached us in his 50s and was very, very upset about this conspiracy, Disney conspiracy,
I mean,
to hold down Batman versus Superman.
I have to admit, like, now that I hear this for the first time, it makes a little bit of sense. If you believe that Hollywood and the entertainment industry is ruled by money, mm-hmm. then Disney certainly is ruled by money.
Well,
and
yes.
their franchise is Marvel. So
right.
they would want to keep all the money.
But I'm not, and even if we entertain the idea that Marvel has some type of something in it, I think that critics, if they didn't like it.
But there have definitely been some very, very volatile fans.
Oh, yeah, there are some that are.
I mean, I've mentioned that I didn't, on the blog, that I didn't enjoy the movie. And, you know, keep in mind that Superman is my favorite fictional comic book character, and it's automatically, well, screw you, you must love Disney. I mean, it's
right,
it's
and
that.
I don't like that, because right. why is that the case? If you didn't like the movie because of X, Y, and Z, and that has nothing to do with Disney, has nothing to do with Marvel,
right.
if you didn't like, it's okay not to like the movie. And I've seen that on a lot of different Batman pages, where if they, the admin, if they really enjoy the movie, then someone comes and says, I didn't really like her, I didn't like Ben Affleck's Batman, they're like, well, you're not a
them.
Yeah, you're not a Batman fan. Mm. And I think that's not a good response either.
Crazy.
Right. And
everyone's got opinions.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, like we've said, you should go see the movie. I don't think you, if you haven't,
right.
I think you might be turned off by the critics
right.
or what other people say.
There was another Batman page that asked for people's thoughts on the movie, and they said, please leave positive thoughts only. If you leave negative thoughts, you'll be blocked.
Yeah. And I think that's
because my viewpoint
intense.
Is like yours, Adam. I actually agree with you. I would see it once in the theater, maybe. And other, or I'm okay to wait for it to come out.
Wait for it on Blu-ray or
like,
digital.
I don't feel, I agree with you. I don't feel that the cinematic experience is necessary. It's just, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm bored on a Wednesday night. I got a couple hours to kill. Oh, Batman vs. Superman. I haven't seen it. Yeah, I'll watch that.
Yeah,
maybe
and then
popcorn.
Just go and see it.
And then, yeah. Like, that's, so I'm with you. It was okay.
Whereas the last Batman film, we saw probably 10 times in theaters.
Right. We did. The Dark Knight Rises.
Of course. Well, and Bane.
Yes.
I mean,
of course. You know why.
Yeah. I mean,
but,
you put Bane in it, you're going to get
and I've
five
seen,
times
right.
at least.
And I've seen, and even though I enjoyed Batman v Superman, I mean, saw it a few times.
Right.
And I would like it on Blu-ray when it comes out in a couple months.
I will get it for us on Blu-ray.
Hint.
But yes, I did have a few problems with it. The motivations were kind of shaky, and it was congested in a way.
The script was clunky, and the,
right. But visually, I thought it was stunning. I love the way Batman looked. I loved the fight. I loved Wonder Woman.
Sure.
I loved all of them fighting together.
The Batmobile was phenomenal.
The Batmobile was amazing, and I, like I said, I am excited to see the next films. And I know that since we're talking about the next films, I know that DC and Warner Brothers have been making a lot of changes mm-hmm. in terms of they have Geoff Johns and John Berg now as the heads of DC films, and they're going to have more creative control
is
over
that
the
because
DC
of
movies.
The fan outcry.
Yes, this is exact. This is because of the critical and financial response to Batman vs. Superman, all of it. So this is all after what they saw, because to them it's almost a financial failure, even though it made $811 million.
With the return,
right? Mm. Because even though it made over $800 million, that's still a failure. Because
oh sure,
it was,
because look at the Nolanverse; they were turning in B's,
right?
Billions,
and considering how much the movie cost, and promotion, and press, and advertisement,
right.
and just everything combined, a lot of money was put into this film
sure.
to not even cross the $1 billion mark.
Mm.
So for them, that's a failure, and so they're not happy.
Right. And so And like you said, there was tremendous fan outcry that was like, right. remove Zack Snyder. He couldn't handle it.
People are like, he should not be on the Justice League film or any other DCEU film. And as we know, Hollywood doesn't necessarily work that way. As much as people want, they're not just going to boot him out just because. So he will still be directing the new Justice League Part 1, which comes out November of next year. But Jeff Johns and John Berger are going to be right there with him.
They're producing.
Producing it, having more control. And it, so it won't be...
I don't know if it was the fans that spoke so much as the money did.
Right.
Right. Because even if all the fans were like, this is awesome, this was amazing, and it got like 90% just that's great, if it still made, for some reason, that amount of money, or just even didn't cross the $1 billion mark, they would still have a problem, and they would still think that there should be changes. But the fact that it was coupled with bad reviews by critics and a lot of bad reviews by fans, they felt that they have to make changes.
Right.
And to me, the only movie we really know a lot, or I've seen a lot of footage from, a Suicide Squad. Yeah, everything else, we don't even know what it looks like or what it is looking like. We don't really know what changes necessarily are being made.
Well, they're probably still being made.
Right, it's still being made, exactly. So they're like, oh, well, we have to put more people on this movie because if we're going to do the same thing as Batman vs Superman, it's not going to be good. So it's just a matter of time of waiting to see what lies ahead for the DCEU, and Batman vs Superman was the start point. But yes, if you haven't seen it, go see it. It's still in theaters. It'll be in theaters maybe for a little bit longer before all the blockbuster summer stuff comes out. And yes, I give it, let's see, if I had to rate it, I usually don't rate things.
How many batarangs?
Out of 10.
Out of 10?
I would actually give it an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10 bats. Alright, fair enough.
6 out of 10 for me.
6 out of 10. I'm going to go with Adam. 6 out of 10. No, 7. I'll go 7. I'm
okay,
in there.
I'll do 8 batarangs and like a wing, so 8.5. 8.5.
All right, I'm sticking with my 7.
Yeah, so, yes. So, of course, like I said in the beginning, you all probably will pick one of us that you agree with. You either thoroughly enjoyed it, you were neutral about it and said it was okay or not okay, or you did not like it at all. So I don't know which person's side you're on, but regardless,
you're represented here.
Yeah.
Yes, you are represented here. You can listen to it, and hopefully you did see the movie. I think at this point, since it's 2 months out, if you haven't seen the movie, you might know what already happens. So I felt that the spoiler filled review, what the time was okay,
and that's why we waited so long.
And that is one of the major reasons why we waited, because I did want everyone to see it, because I wanted to talk about a lot of things that we discussed, but if it was non-spoiler, we couldn't get to it, and I don't think it would have been as fun to really dive into the characters and everything that happened. So I do hope that you did enjoy it and you didn't feel that you wasted money or anything. But this is the start of the DCEU, which is very exciting. We're getting all of these movies. We're going to have Justice League on this live action screen, which is historic and amazing. And even if you didn't like the film, Batman and Superman in live action on the big screen, that's a moment in Batman's history that this was it. Yeah, so we're gonna have Suicide Squad.
You're witnessing.
Exactly.
History.
We're gonna have Suicide Squad in August, and then next year rolling out with Wonder Woman in the first Justice League movie, and then we're gonna get into all the other characters' films over the next several years, and it should be a crazy ride. Should be great. I think it's still a great time for comic book fans, for Batman fans, Superman fans, all of the DC fans. Even if you're a little shaken as to where this DCU and the direction it's going because of the directing or the producers or any of that, the fact that all of this is just happening, I think, is major, and we should just try to embrace it as much as possible.
And if you do want to ride the wave, there's no place better to ride it than Meltdown Comics, 7522 Sunset Boulevard. Come down, check us out. We've got all your Batman, Superman.
Yeah.
We've got comedy shows. Also, we've got other podcast shows on the podcast network. Mm-hmm. We've got it all, man. Come check us out. And by the way, if you come to Meltdown and you tell the clerk at checkout that London rocks, you get 10% off your purchase here at Meltdown. So buy anything you want in the store, go to the clerk and say London rocks, and you get 10% off.
Nice.
As a little shout out from History of the Batman. All right. Well, yeah. Thanks for your insight and everything.
I hope the review was. I think it was that gave a lot. Maybe cleared up a few things.
Cleared up a lot for me.
So if people have differing views or want to offer support of our views, how can they get
right.
contact
yes.
with you?
Yes, I want to hear what you guys thought of the movie. You can always email me at historyofthebatman@gmail.com, and you can also follow on all the social media on instagram.com/historyofthebatman, which just crossed 250,000 Gothamites, which is awesome.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm so happy. I always love the feedback and support and everyone who has been following the page for over 3 years, which is crazy. So become a Gothamite and come follow, and you get all Batman history all day long. You can follow on Twitter at twitter.com/histofthebatman, facebook.com/historyofthebatman, and if you're on Tumblr, you can follow on historyofthebatman.tumblr.com. And I did want to shout out Danny from Anaheim. They actually emailed me today, and they wanted to give their love to the podcast. They said they're a fan of the podcast.
Yay.
And that they are starting to read comics that have been mentioned on the podcast, and they're a big fan of Batman. And so I just want to say thank you, Danny, for listening. You're awesome. And yes, email me at historyofthebatman@gmail.com. Any feedback, comments, questions, show ideas, I read everything. And tell me what you thought of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
And London.
Peace, love, and Batman.